Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, Joe Mazzulla, Boston Celtics head coach. Not a whole lot more you got to say than that. It's coming up in just a minute here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to tell you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. It's a great time right now, if you have young kids, to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's a quarterly magazine, and it's faith-filled, it's clean content, and it's the intersection of sports and Jesus. It's got devotionals in there, great stories about the athletes and the coaches and the people that you watch and love as they share their Jesus story through the lens of our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. Sportsspectrum.com, click that magazine icon at the top, and you can subscribe right now to a one-year subscription to the magazine. And a little bonus for you, if you use the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15, you can save 15% off that one-year subscription to what I think is the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum, our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe over at sportsspectrum.com. We also want to give thanks to our partners, Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world. You can go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum right now and learn how you can sponsor a child and release them from poverty in Jesus' name. These are kids all around the world who are stuck in really difficult situations, poverty-stricken situations. Go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum. You'll see a list of children there. You can pray about what child to sponsor, and it makes a difference. It brings them food, education, medical care, vocational training, and the gospel of Jesus. Go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum and pray about sponsoring a child today. He is Joe Mazzulla. Hi, Joe. Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm good. It's so good to see you. So good to talk to you. I think the best place to start is where we try to always start on this show, and that's to start with the Lord, start with Jesus. Let's just have you share who that is to you. Who is Christ to you?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's definitely that perception is always evolving, right? As you grow as a person, as you learn, as you study, it's always evolving. And you know, the part of him that I kind of resonate the most with is like, his leadership style, and who he was just as a person. And if you peel back the onion, if you take away, like, if you just take away the spirituality, if you take away everything and you look at just the values and his leadership style and how he approached his daily life, it's just so interesting, so amazing, and so much to learn from. And so there's many different lenses you can look at Jesus from. There's many different ways you can learn from him. And, you know, I go in and out of those ways throughout my journey, but one of the ways that I try to, you know, really stay into is like, who was he as a leader? Regardless of anything else, there's a reason why, you know, 2023 years later, that there's people still talking about him. And so, like, you did something right. And you know, just learning from that, those leadership values is fun.
Yeah, that's that Matthew 20:28, I think, is the scripture where Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And I feel like that alone, it speaks to the opposite of what I think a lot of the world may look at as a leader. How does that scripture, or even just that mindset of Jesus as a servant, played into the way that you go and lead?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not perfect at it. You know, sure. I can say that I'm a servant leader, but there's probably times where I'm prideful. And, you know, and I think it's just understanding that I try to take the approach of just, you know, how can you look at things from other perspectives? How can you be there for other people? How can you just be there to help, right? And so I try not to use the servant leadership too much because I'm probably not great at it all the time. Hmm. But the one thing I try to look at it is like, you know, God has given us all unique gifts, abilities, opportunities. And how do we use those for the better of people around us? You know, like, how do we use what God has given us to move your organization forward, move the world forward, just try to leave it a little bit better than you found it. And so that's kind of how I try to look at it. Yeah. You know, you look at, you know, the verse you said, I came to serve. I'll take it a step further. One of my favorite is like, you don't go to the doctor when you're healthy. Like, I didn't come to help I forget which one exactly it is, but he's essentially saying like,
Yes, I came for the sick, not for the healthy. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's like that fundamental principle of like, we're all in this together from the standpoint of like, we all have great things about us, but we all have things that we want to work on and improve upon. And like, it's just navigating that duality and trying to learn and grow and become a better person, like, as much as you can.
You started the coaching world after you finished playing. You were younger then, obviously, and you grow and you learn, like you say. How is the evolution of that in terms of the way that you lead from faith, from Jesus, helped you on this journey in terms of the way you've grown in your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, simply identity and purpose. I think, when you go from being a basketball player and doing it your entire life to having the game taken for you or time running out, whatever the case may be, you start to lose that sense of purpose and you start to lose that identity because it's been in one thing for such a long time. And so I went through a small phase of like, being purposeless, like not really knowing what my journey was and not really knowing what my identity was. And I had to make a fundamental change and say like, my identity is in Christ regardless of what I do, because I put it in playing for such a long time and now I'm not. And so there's so many other fleeting things that you can put an identity into, and just really tried to recommit myself, to my identity in Christ. And then, once you're able to do that, I feel like it's easier to find your purpose. I feel like it's easier. Okay, like what is it that God is calling you to? What are the things that He's given you, and how do you use those things to make to make it a better place?
Yeah. How has your journey kind of evolved? Take us through your journey of faith growing up, and maybe even it was there a moment? I feel like for me, at least when I was 27, there was a moment where my brother came and said, "Hey, I want to introduce you to Christ." And he kind of walked me through this. And I said, "Yes, Chris, I'm in. I'm all in on this. I don't understand it all. I'm certainly not perfect, still to this day, not perfect, obviously, but there was a moment." Was there a moment for you, or was it kind of a progression for you?
I mean, I think it's more of a progression. I think there's ups and downs, ebbs and flows. There's moments that you can pick out that like small recommitments,
Yeah.
Fortunate enough, I grew up, going to a Catholic school, being in a Christian community, being in the church. Like, I've always had a foundation for it. I think once I got to college, I kind of lost a little bit of it just because I was out of my comfort zone. I didn't have the spiritual foundation that I did and the comfort level that I did for so many years in grade school and high school. And I'd say a major recommitment for me was when I graduated and I wasn't playing. And I'd say before, I'd say like when I hurt my shoulder and I was done playing for a year, I had the game taken away from a year. Like, that was when I was really lost from an identity standpoint, because I had never had a significant injury like that, and I had put so much stock into being a basketball player for that year that I wasn't. And so I'd say that was a major recommitment. It was like, okay, I want to put my identity somewhere else, that's more foundational, that's stronger, that's more long lasting. And then another recommitment, when I graduated, and it was like, okay, do I want to go play overseas for a small level job and it's probably not going to last long, and or do I want to go to something that's more purposeful and something that God might be calling me to do for the long run. And then just constantly small ones throughout there, like getting married, having kids, and changing jobs. Like, I feel like you have to constantly recommit yourself to Christ, recommit yourself to His promise, recommit to your identity, and at the same time work on it.
You mentioned having kids. How did becoming a dad yourself help you see God as Father, help you see the Lord maybe differently?
That's funny. One of the things throughout this journey, it's like how we view God will be how we view others, and like our relationship with God is essentially a reflection of our relationship with other people. And that is kind of been interesting for me, is I felt like over the last maybe 5 to 8 years, I've really made a commitment to studying like grace and what real love is, and understanding and how I'm able to accept God's grace, or how I'm able to accept His love, is going to be how I'm able to give it to my kids or my wife or people. And so it's something that I've really been focused on the last few years, is grace, love, understanding, mercy, those gifts.
Tell me about grace. Like, so you studying, learning. I mean, we could do an hour and a half or all day long, right, Coach, on grace. But what does that mean to you, like, personally, in the profession you're in, just in your studying and seeing who God is? That word grace, it's one we throw around, right? That amazing grace.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I didn't really understand earlier in life, and like I just didn't get it. Like, take it a step further, it's grace, and you have your self-forgiveness, you have your self-compassion, and then, you know, I just really started to look at from that perspective is like how I view God and is going to be how I view myself, and how I view myself is how I'm going to treat other people. And I'm a firm believer that the way we treat other people is really the way we treat ourselves.
Yeah.
And,
That's
you
good.
know, for a long time, for a long time, like, my faith was good. Like, I would read, I would go to church, I would, but I didn't have the right view of God. I had my view of God. Like, I had it, like, it was almost like a check the box type thing or a win loss type thing. And I felt like the area that could bridge my relationship with him was like grace, like understanding my imperfections, understanding that I am a sinner, understanding that I'm made different, understanding that there's nothing I can do to change the way he feels about me. And I think that also stems from like the competitive environment that we're in, is like we're always used to earning something, we're always used to playing for a win. I just grew up that way, is like competitive. Everything, there's a winner or loss to everything. And so when you apply that competitive nature to your faith, it just creates a lot of, for me, anxiety, stress, and like just separation from Christ. And so when I was able to really go down the road to grace and understanding that I can't earn it, I don't have to be competitive. It's not a win or loss. It's an acceptance. And, you know, I feel like that's one of the virtues that we could really show each other in the world today, is that, because you have to be able to look at yourself, you have to be able to give yourself compassion, you have to understand yourself, you have to take on something that you can't earn, you got to give that to others.
That's got to be so hard for a competitor, though. I mean, even for me, who played like community college basketball, you know, and even working at ESPN, I had this competitive drive to want to be the best. It's so hard, I got to imagine, as a guy who played at a high level in college, and then now obviously coaching. That's got to be so difficult.
No, I mean, just to like fundamentally say, like, there's nothing I can do to win that faith, with the exception of like surrender.
Right.
And so that's where grace led me to next, was like this principle of like surrendering, this principle of, you don't have to earn it. You have to surrender yourself. You come to Christ, so yourself can die, and really understanding that. And that led me to like, you know, this tug of war between like humility and pride, right? Like, I mean, I feel like that's something that people talk about all the time. And it's like, what is true humility? And like, you know, and I can honestly say, like, the more I start to learn, the more I'm like, man, I'm way more prideful than I thought I was.
Yeah, most of us are.
And I'm nowhere near the humility that Jesus talks about, but it's the process towards that. It's understanding how to get to those things. And so that was like the natural progression, was like, you know, I grew up Catholic, I grew up in the church, and then I went from that to like, I really had to understand grace. And then when I had the ability to understand grace, I understood surrender. When I understood surrender, I understood like the balance of pride and humility, where it plays into my heart and where it plays into my relationship with Christ. And, I think we all have to be selfish in our relationship with God, because we're a reflection of how we treat ourselves, and we're a reflection of how we view God.
How does that help you tune out the noise? Because you, the role that you're in and the team that you work with and the team that I've rooted for many years and the team that so many people in Boston root for, that's, there's so much coming at you with the role that you have. And yet, like you said, your foundation of your faith is found on surrender and grace. How do you tune all that out?
Funny, I don't think you can. I don't think you tune it all out. You know, Jesus didn't tune it out.
Like, right.
He disappeared for moments at times for prayer, for meditation, you know, whether it was a day or 2 days or 3 days. But then he also inserted himself right in the middle of the noise. And so, I'm not saying that you should naturally like go out there and seek it out. But I think at the end of the day, it's not something you can completely eliminate. I think you have to find the balance. I think you have to understand the position that you're in. But I think it comes down to just that commitment to like, this is exactly where God has brought my family and I is exactly where we are, and whatever happens here is exactly what's supposed to happen along the way. And up until this point, my wife and I and our family have tried to just do that, like just be where God wants you to be,
Yeah.
have an understanding of it, and everything that comes your way, it has the opportunity to help you in some capacity. And listen, like even with the noise, like sometimes the noise is a little bit right. Like I think everybody's at least 10% right. Right.
Sure.
Like
Yeah.
there's no one that's 100% right, and there's no one that's 100% wrong.
Right.
And the book that really helped me with that is Ecclesiastes. Like that's my favorite book because it's like the it's a perfect book of like duality, of like balance. Like everything matters and it's the most important thing, but then it doesn't matter at all at the same time. Because I feel like that's like the natural competitive space that you live in is like that book of like, it matters, you have to do it, it's so important, but then it doesn't matter anymore.
We're talking to Joe Mazzulla here on Sports Spectrum, the head coach of the Celtics. I want to ask you about discipleship for you. Like, just as a follower of Christ, we can't do this life alone. I was just on a Bible study this morning that talked about Jesus didn't do this thing. He could have, but he didn't do this thing alone during the time that he was on this earth. What does discipleship look like for you? Just like you said, getting in God's word, church, but even people surrounding you that can encourage you and help you and help you grow in your faith.
I think it's just, listen, like leadership, the Bible, like what's in the Bible is the same thing that's in corporations. It's the same thing that's in businesses. They're just not labeled biblical values, but I think they're all the same. And so I think discipleship is more about just the, like, can you have a level of consistency to who you are as a person? And then can you have things that you're striving for? And then can you just work with other people? And, naturally those values will come out. And the people that look at life through the lens of Christianity will see them as Christian values, and the people that don't, which is perfectly fine, they'll see them as leadership values. But they're all the same. It's just a matter of the lens in which we look at them. And so I don't get caught up in as much about like making sure people know that I'm a Christian. That's not important. It's not as important. It is in certain spaces, and I think it's
Sure.
important that people know that it's important to me. But at the end of the day, me and the values that I'm expressing are no different than someone who might not be a follower, but he may be expressing those same values. And it's a matter of like finding that connection. That to me is like discipleship, is like, can you find the connection with people regardless of who they are or where they're at in their life and just work together towards a common goal?
One of the things I've noticed about you too is the platform that you have. After every game, there is a press conference and there's Joe Mazzulla answering questions from the media about the game, win or loss. And oftentimes I've seen, particularly this year, because you've been the head coach, your opportunities to incorporate your faith, not to force it on anybody ever. But people will ask you questions like, tell me about being a head coach. And you'll say, I'm not a head coach. That's not where my identity is found. And I'm thinking, I know what Joe is doing there when he says that. Do you recognize, or have you recognized, especially this last year, the platform that you have and the opportunity to be as intentional, I'll say, about your faith as possible?
I'll tell you what, when this opportunity first arose and I got in the position that I'm in, I probably tried to run from that platform more than run towards it. From the standpoint of like, you go back to identity and purpose. And so when I graduated from college, like I said, like I didn't have a pure identity, I didn't have a pure purpose, but I kind of hid emotionally, because I was like, okay, this is who I was. I don't necessarily love all the areas of my life. And so I need to recommit to Christ, need to recommit to my identity and purpose and what he wants for me. So I kind of went into this like emotional, like just kind of like cave, but where like I'm just going to work on myself. I'm not going to like get too caught up in anything else. And when I got this job, it's like boom, like you emotionally are like exposed and
Yeah.
physically exposed, mentally exposed, spiritually exposed. So like all these exposures. And at first it was really hard to like take on. And I was kind of like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't want to do this or that. And, as you start to realize and you start to understand the platform and the opportunity that you have, I do think it's important to take on some of those. But you also you don't want to like rule them. And,
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a matter of how you, I think it's just a matter of how you live. And again, like, I say that the good and the bad. Like I'm not afraid to admit that my sins or my imperfections or the areas where I screw up, because like that's life. And there's, like we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, is like, this is who he came for, people like me, and to help me figure it out. So you know, embracing that platform is something that I want to get a little bit better at the same time, just trying to be who I am.
Absolutely. All right. Let me ask you a question about, I think there was a moment as you talked about in the press conferences and recognizing, you know, your platform last year, and it was right at the end of the season. It was in between your guys coming back from 0-3 against Miami, but it was, you were asked about how you stay calm and how are you kind of, you know, keeping yourself in a place where you're not so worked up over trying to make this comeback. And you talked about this moment where you shared your faith a little bit too, but you went and saw a couple people, a couple girls who were battling cancer. And I'm just curious, at whatever level you're comfortable with, on sharing a little bit about what that experience was like and maybe how that impacted your walk with Christ. And I could tell that obviously it did, because you even responded, "Do you really want to know?" Which I thought was really interesting in the way that you responded to the guy's question. And because that was something that was going to take you in a different path than just talking about watching film or whatever that a normal coach would do to get ready for the next game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, there's two sides to this. There's the empathetic and the pain and the suffering side of watching people have to go through things that are out of their control and things that they can't fix, so to speak, right? And things that happen in life that are just kind of unexplainable, right? There's that side of it, and there's the other side of like the gratitude and the perspective. And I felt like I was able to feel both of those, and I was grateful to God because he gave me the opportunity to really see what life is all about. And when you get into the playoffs, you know, it is like this, I don't know, this 90 days of just go, and you put your head down and you try to make it as if like it's a life or death situation. But and in some capacities it is, for lack of a better term. But then God gives me this opportunity to see life from a different perspective. And it's like, there are people, you know, this fight's going to be over whether we win or lose, but there are people who are fighting for their lives, like really. And so I was able to feel that. And then to go back to the platform piece, like I was, any opportunity, you don't want to rob people of the opportunity to bring them hope or a little bit of joy or a little bit of peace. And I had the ability, you know, to just, you know, offer up hope, offer up joy, offer up love. And I was grateful to God for that. And I think I said in that is like I became better person just by interacting with them. And I was grateful for that. And so it was twofold. I mean, it was hard to see people at a young age have to go through stuff. At the same time, you try to take as much good out of it as you can. And I'm grateful to those families because they really helped me.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier was, you know, how to be intentional about your faith. A couple times you've raised your hand up and there's a wristband. I noticed it says John 3:30 on it. That's actually the life verse of our entire ministry at Sports Spectrum, of he must increase, the increase in Christ and the decrease of self. And you know, he must increase, we must decrease. Why do you wear that particular? You got a lot of bracelets on, but why that one? Because that's being open and intentional, coach, right? If somebody comes up to you and says hello and you've got that on, immediately to me, I'm thinking, okay, this guy's wearing that bracelet for a reason. So why that one?
Goes back to what I told you before. Any chance I have to institute pride and make it about myself, you know, it's just natural human tendency, right? Is you know, but I think it's understanding that, like, when you get into highly successful situations or high failure situations, you have a tendency to make it about you. How is this affecting me? How does this win? What does this win do for me? Or how is this lot? Like, you can just, it's so easy to turn to our nature, right? To the flesh. And just having a reminder and understanding that, like, at those times you always have a choice, and you can choose that path or you can choose his path, to where, you know, you double down on faith, you double down on trust, you double down on the courage that it takes, and you allow it to go where it goes, right? And my favorite book for that is Job. Like, that to me, like, I'm big on duality and understanding both sides of the coin. And you know, I don't think you can have love without hate. If you can't understand both of those, I don't think you can have you know, peace, you know, without noise. And so Job right there, like, you know, the first couple chapters are about all the good things he's done in his life, and like the devil just challenges straight up and is like, he's only faithful because he has everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second you take it away, what are you? And so just, can we at the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows not make it about us and keep our eyes and our hearts focused on what really matters? And so that's kind of a long answer to like why I have that. And as I said, started out, like, I'm not perfect at it by any means, but it's good to at least have a reminder.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, Coach, we haven't had anybody here on this podcast in over 5 years. It's been perfect. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I will say this too. I happened to share a sermon yesterday morning at my church here in Connecticut, and I was going through Matthew 3 and Matthew 4 on identity. And I was talking about how, you know, God labels and looks at Jesus as his son, you know, beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, before he does any miracles. Like, he says, this is my son. He labels him. And then the devil right away in the next verse tries to tempt him in the wilderness, say, if you are the son of God, I'll give you all of these things. And it feels like temptation can come in the way. How do you avoid that? And that wristband certainly helps. And that verse, John 3:30, certainly is a great reminder. How do you, again, that goes back to, I think, staying in connection with Christ. But how does that, as we wind down here, maybe tying a ribbon, a bow on this conversation with identity, how does that resonate with you in seeing that, you know, this is who Joe Mazzulla is, my beloved son?
Oh, I mean, the people I have around me, like that. That is how you, that's how I've learned over the years of like, you can do it on your own, you can do it without Christ, but you can't. You need Christ and you need others. And so I've just been very fortunate at every juncture of my life, I've always had great people around me. Whether it's coaches, whether it's friends, whether it's my wife, my kids, the people that I work with here with the Celtics, the players, like, I have never had bad people around me. And I really feel like that's from God. And so, like, if I can wake up every day and be surrounded by the people that I'm surrounded by, that's the number one thing that like gets me up every morning, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, is the opportunity that God has given me and the environment that I'm around because of the people that I have.
That's good. Last question. What are you most thankful for to God right now in your life, where you are? There's so much to be
right
thankful
now?
For. Sure. Right now, at this moment, as we speak, what are you most thankful for?
Man, I mean, there's three. Like, my wife, my relationship with her, like, we got married. We were pretty good friends, but last year we became best friends. I mean, she was always like my best friend, but like, we really became best friends this year.
That's good.
My kids, as they grow, they both give me a sense of joy that are completely different. And I just read today, like, that, like, your relationship with your kids is a reflection of your relationship with Christ, right? Because like, we have a childlike wonder and, you know, the innocence of children. And so like, my individual relationship with each of my sons, it's fruitful, but it challenges me at times too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then like the third is just this platform. Like, I'm 35. There's no coincidence that I've had the opportunity to coach a team of the area that I'm from. I grew up 45 minutes from here, and God has given me this. And, you know, I try to be as thankful as I can every single day, knowing it might not last forever. But this is where God has us. And so, like, I can't hide that. I can't. And I'm just forever grateful for what he's done for me.
Well, I'm grateful you said yes to come on our show, Joe Mazzulla. It's been great talking with you. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your journey and your walk with the Lord. And we'll be cheering you on all year long, and just appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I appreciate it.
And many thanks to Joe Mazzulla, the Boston Celtics head coach, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. That was a great conversation. Really enjoyed talking to Joe. And listen, this is what Sports Spectrum's about, right? You can go onto ESPN or go to Celtics.com. That will give a plug to the Celtics, you know, homepage there, and see what they're doing and all the great work and the great people that work with the Celtics. If you want to know about on the court stuff, you can find that anywhere. And listen, I've been a Celtics fan since the early 80s. Larry Bird is my guy, and Robert Parrish was my guy back in the 80s. So I'm a fan too. And it would have been very easy for me to just say, hey, what do you think about Tatum and Brown and the new acquisitions and, you know, getting back to the NBA finals and this upcoming season and, you know, the opener against the Knicks in New York on October 25th. I get it. But that's not what this show is about. This show will always be about keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. Sometimes we'll have a little sports in there. Sometimes we'll have a little bit more. But with Coach Joe Mazzulla, I wanted it to be focused on his faith. And I thought we had a fantastic conversation talking about identity and grace and humility and pride and the Lord increasing and us decreasing in our lives. I loved this conversation with Coach Joe Mazzulla and really appreciate him saying yes. I meant that, saying yes to come on this show, because he told me he doesn't do a lot of these. And this was one where he said yes to because he wanted to talk about Christ. So we'll be rooting for him this year. We'll be cheering him on, and we really appreciate him joining us. And of course, we appreciate you, the listener, as well, for clicking play, for subscribing, for following this podcast, and just engaging with Sports Spectrum and becoming an ambassador for what we do. And our goal will always be to keep Christ in the sports conversation. If you want to share this podcast, that would be amazing, and let others know that this show exists, that this interview with Coach Joe Mazzulla, this conversation exists as well. And then please do just tune in next time for another conversation. That would be amazing. We love you guys. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you soon here on Sports Spectrum.